Hello and welcome to the CCMP podcast. In this episode, we're talking about year six of the symposium. I've got a special guest, RJ, is going to be with me this week. But first, let's go to the men's room. Unfortunately, the men's room is closed this week, although they are working on repairing it. But I've got one news story anyways. So, and that is that if you saw Conan O'Brien last week, you saw Ron Burgundy was on, and they announced a sequel to Anchorman. That's all the news I have. Now we'll go to the year that was. Alright, the year was 2000. Year six of the symposium. On television, Malcolm in the Middle premiered. CSI and the show Survivor, in which Richard Hatch won. In movies, Remember the Titans, The Replacements, and X-Men. In sports, the Super Bowl was won by the St. Louis Rams. Kurt Warner was the MVP. In the World Series, the Yankees won. NBA, the Lakers won that. In basketball, Michigan State won the national title for college. And the national title in football was to Oklahoma. The 2000 Summer Olympics also started this year. And ECU, Eastern Carolina University, was in the Gallery Furniture Bowl and defeated Texas Tech 40-27. That's for tricky. With that, we will head into year six of the symposium, along with my special guest, RJ Kuligowski.
Greetings.
Or mini JT, as you will find out in the story.
At this point, I'm more mega JT.
No, you're not mega JT. You'll never be mega JT.
My rotund belly begs to differ.
Yeah, you're still not as big as Rob, so.
Dang it.
Anyways, all right. What we did, we started out, and I believe that we left from Rich's house this year. That is when I believe I met you, even at Rich's house.
Yeah, on Ridge.
Yep. In which you actually later ended up buying a house real close to there on Young.
Still own it, yes. Still own it. Young Street, which was, so the backyards were kitty-cornered to one another. Yes, and that was the... In fact, other than Dad and Tony and Aaron, I don't think I knew anyone in the group.
Well, you didn't even know Tony, or Dave, or Cliff, huh?
No.
Being friends with Tony for so long.
Well, we were church friends and... We all know that Cliff and Dave aren't Christians, so.
You might want to refer to Dave as bitch, by the way.
Understood.
All right, so with that, this year symposium took place in Woodhall again at Tony's house. This would be the last year that we are at Tony Babcock's house. He was getting married, and oddly enough, you... We're about to get married also for the first time.
Yes, I was. And even more funnily enough, if that's even a phrase, is Noah was conceived the day of Tony's wedding.
Oh, that's nice.
So.
Well, okay, that just throws a really big snowball into this, but I'm not going into that right now. So... We're not going to go there. Well, anyways, we get down to... I don't remember a whole lot about the road trip. I don't know if there was anything significant that happened while you were riding down. But.
Met Dwin, and...
Well, that had to be nice.
That's an experience in and of itself. That was the... I on a lark... Well, not really on a lark, because I'm kind of a girl. Brought my Bacardi Silvers. So that started that tradition. And so I plied Dwin with liquor so he wouldn't neck shot me. I remember that. Other than that, I don't remember anything of the road trip.
Oh, okay. Well, anyways, I know we arrived at Tony's house, and I believe Tony was already down there because Tony was living down there, so. Well, we got down there, and Tony's future wife, Heather, had supposedly set up strippers for us, along with Kendra, Cliffy's wife. I don't know which one, or it was more likely Heather that set this up, but...
Straight into the strippers.
Yeah. But apparently, the strippers canceled. And I know we spent
Oh, good, Dukes, right.
Who spent a good 20 minutes on the phone with Heather trying to either see if we could get other strippers to come down or find a strip club. Apparently, they either found or Tony claimed to know of a strip club that was about a half hour away.
I think Tony was the one that said, I know where... Yes, because Tony was the... his dad had the hoopty van, and Tony was the co-pilot, and he kept saying, oh, it's just down this road, and then everybody kept calling Dad, and I believe you're the one that reminded me that his stock phrase was 5 minutes.
Yeah, anytime 5 minutes. Of course, that 5 minutes included having to stop at a roadside a rest area, so people could go to the bathroom.
Yeah, I believe it was... hour and a half, 2 hours, something like that.
Yeah, it ended up being about that. And I can tell you that when we arrived, the place looked like a dive. It would look like an old warehouse.
And it was next to a Flying J.
Yes.
I remember that. And a liquor store?
Like a strip mall with a liquor store in it.
Okay. Yep.
And, well, we all went in. And by the time we all got in, Dwayne was the liaison, I guess, because he was working with strippers out in California at this time. And he's pretty much got us in, got us a deal with the Bachelor and all that. So we went in, and after we got in, we suddenly weren't as upset as we were about the ride out. As a matter of fact, I never heard it, but I believe somebody did say, is this heaven? And somebody went, no, this is Iowa.
That's probably tricky.
Most likely. Excuse me. Well, and I can tell you that the experience at Daisy Dukes was quite nice. The women were very pretty.
It was clean.
Yes.
It was very, very clean. I remember that. It was, I remember the bathrooms had attendants, and you could have, like, mints and deodorants and sprays and colognes and everything like that.
Yeah.
And it's like, what? A strip club? Really? And it had three stages. Yes. And then where did Tony get taken? That was a side stage, right?
Yeah, there was a shower. I believe he got taken to a shower.
Okay, that's right.
And had Dwayne's belt beat the shit out of him.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Because, you know, we couldn't use just a normal size belt. We had to grab a belt from Dwayne.
That's right. Yeah, they ripped his underwear, and there was, I think there was like three or four of them on him.
Yeah,
and
probably.
And he was bruised and battered, which, you know, whips and chains excite me type thing.
Yeah. Well, as you enter the establishment, we're jumping ahead, I'm going back a little bit here. As we enter the establishment, there's like three levels to this place. There was a top stage, then there was like a middle stage, and then there was a bottom stage.
The bottom stage was the big one.
The girls slowly worked their way down as they were dancing. And then I know there was two rooms that you could go into for lap dances. One was for fully nude, and the other one was basically just topless. And the fully nude was no touching.
Right. Right. That's right. And that's one thing about this group is we still spend a shit ton of money, but you never spend it on yourself. You're always spending it on somebody else.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I know Aaron was spending a lot of money because he was the official or unofficial best man at for Tony's wedding, and he was making sure Tony had a very good time.
Yeah, he did.
The strip club was also BYOB, so we were bringing our own beer in. That was part of the reason for having the liquor store right next door. As a matter of fact, I remember groups bringing in kegs. They'd go over to the liquor store and get a keg and bring it in. I do remember that.
Yeah, oh, that's right. They had their own coolers, too.
Yeah.
Then little mini fridges and everything you could put your beer in. That's right.
Yep. And I know I was partaking. There's three. Plus, you could get table dances. When the girls were done, they'd come around, and you could give table dances for each of the guys. Like RJ said, you pretty much didn't spend your own money on those. The guys around you would pay for them for you just to do it. I do know that, like I said, the women were very hot.
The Cowboys cheerleader one.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was it. As I was going around, I wasn't sure. I mean, not that I didn't want to lap dance, but I just wasn't real sure about them right then, that time. And Aaron comes over to me, and he's like, "Are you having fun, man?" I'm going, "Yeah, I'm having fun." He goes, "Well, what are you?" He goes, "You want to dance?" I go, "I guess." And he goes, "Well, if you do, just let me know. You pick her out and you let me know and I'll pay for it." I went, "Okay." About 2 minutes later, this chick in a Dallas Cowboy cheerleader outfit comes out on stage. And I walk over to Aaron and I go, "That one."
Yeah, I remember very vividly the Cowboy cheerleader for you.
Yeah, a lot of them. So I hope that was good enough for that. Now we had discussed.
Well, we closed it too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We closed down. Well, I know several of us closed down the bar.
Yeah, not all of us made it.
No, and I believe on the way home I drove because I was fairly sober. But as we drove home, I know Tricky kept trying to get me to pull off into Rock Island and get some burgers from a place he knows that's kind of like White Castle, where you can get a sack of 25 for like $25 or something like, or $20 or something like that. I'm sure, because he went to school Rock Island, so.
Okay.
So that's why he knew about this place. So, and I don't believe we played golf that year.
If we did, I have no recollection of it.
I'm surprised any of us have any recollection of anything after these weekends sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought I'd be a big, strong, tough boy and not sleep. And it took me about a week to recover. I remember that.
Yeah. They usually do. Anyways, but what we did do is we did play paintball. This is RJ's first year. Now, this is probably about the second time most of us have ever played paintball. Now, the first year, if you listen to year 5, we went and played with a bunch of lovely hillbillies, or the Illinois Militia, as we like to call them, and a 9-year-old that kicked all our asses. So we found a new place. This place was very cool. They were very nice. And actually, we ended up with a compliment that we were probably one of the best groups that this guy ever had as we
were
going. That's
right. Yeah, I remember it.
I mean, this came later, but...
Yeah, but when we came back, he always said that our group was one of the best. You know, we listened, cleaned up after ourselves. Yep, I remember that.
That's the one thing. As wild and as rowdy as we can get, we are very polite and very follow rules very well when we are...
When we aren't by ourselves?
Yeah. When we're by ourselves, rules kind of go out the window a little bit.
Yeah.
Anyways, as we do this, now, as we're playing paintball, there was two courses. You guess you could call the first one a speed course, but it wasn't truly a speed course at this time.
It was that small square with the wooden palisades or whatever you call them, trees in the corner, and you'd start from one of two corners, and then they had a thing in the middle.
A flag.
If you wanted to capture the flag. Otherwise, you could do
complete elimination.
Yeah, I remember that. I didn't get hurt on that one.
No. I know that was a different year, but there was... I know we played paintball there for several years after this. Although, there was also another point where you could play two games down there. You could play another capture the flag, which basically you had to go and find your opponent's flag and take it back to your base.
Right.
There was also a capture the castle, where there was a large wooden, I'll call it a building, it really wasn't a building, but a large structure.
Yeah, and it was on an island. Yeah, because there was that creek and a couple of bridges.
Yep. So we played there and got shot.
Someone's got more shot than
now,
others.
I believe it was during one of the Capture the Flags that RJ decided that he was going to be Mr. Tough Guy.
No, well, I, to be fair, I had Dwin on one side and Boo on the other, and I'm going, well...
Okay, there's your first mistake.
I thought they would be great shields. So I
Again,
said,
your first mistake.
So I said, follow me, and I ran off, and they didn't move. But I wasn't paying attention, and I crested a hill and got shot by at least 4 different people a multitude of times.
So the way I picture this happened is that you, like, go running over this hill, and, like, picture, like, four guys standing, like, in a square. He runs over the hill and standing in the middle of them, and they just open fire on his ass.
I remember saying, I'm dead, damn it. But that didn't stop them. They kept shooting.
You know who was shooting you?
I know Tricky was one of them.
Well, there's your problem.
Cliff was one of them.
Again, there's your problem.
And I want to say Dave? No. Cliff was one and Tricky was. I know them. I don't remember who the other two were, but I just got lit up like a Christmas tree. And as a result, I got a free T-shirt, which I still have, because I was bleeding in about 25 different places.
Did you not have a large bruise on your chest?
Yes, it was there for 2 years. 2 years before that went away.
Oh, prior to this, I don't know if his dad warned us of this, but we were not to shoot RJ in the hands because he needed his hands for pictures for his wedding.
Right, because I was getting married.
And I believe he still got hit in the hand.
Yes, I did. I was bleeding in the hand. Maybe I deserved it a little bit, but I still blame Boo and Dwin for that.
Oh, and the funniest part about the whole T-shirt you got, I believe on the back, did it not say, cover me?
It says, cover me, damn it. cover me, damn it. Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I only wear that at symposiums now, because I wore it out. Yeah. But I bring that to every symposium.
Well, after we played paintball for a while, I know we always ended up going back. Now I don't know.
Oh, it's also brutally hot because it's hot it's every damn year.
Always hot
at symposium. It's hot and not raining.
Yep. I've always made the joke, and I've made it previously on here, is that if we could hold it in the middle of January, it'd probably be 90 degrees.
Yeah.
And then people go, "Well, why don't you?" So after we did this lovely paintball, we headed back, I'm sure, and guys went and took showers. I don't know if they found the truck stop. This was the old truck stop to take showers in, or some people just took showers. Or wait a minute, was this wasn't the year Tony took us, the last year that he took us over to the high school, was it?
I don't remember going to the high school. I remember, because he saw, because they had the bathroom upstairs.
Yeah.
But not everyone took showers there. It was like Cliffy and...
I believe I did. Because Cliffy decided to take a shower and then fall in the bathtub and bust his bathtub.
Yes, he got his toe stuck in it. I remember that. The thump, the scream, and then blaming Tony for breaking it. Somehow. Somehow it was Tony's fault that he broke the shower.
Yeah. This was towards the end of the weekend, though.
Right.
After there was no sleep, so, you know, of course, he's in the middle of a shower that's slippery as hell, and he's taking a shower without any sleep, so.
I remember the truck stop. I don't remember the high school.
Yeah. Now, that may have been the previous year that Tony took us over to the high school, and we showered at the high school. But you had said something about card game, Screw Your Neighbor?
Yes. Okay, yes. One of the few games that I remember was with Rush. I was sitting with Rush and I think Doug, and I don't remember who else I was sitting, and I was at the one where the couch was. I remember that, and Rush was the one that came up with the idea for Screw Your Neighbor with $500 chips. And I was like, all right, I think I lost $4,500 in three hands because we played it three times in a row, if I remember correctly. Mm. And I think that's what helped institute the $100 limit on that game.
No, $300, yeah.
The $100 per pot, yeah.
Yeah.
So I remember that. I remember Mark, because he's a really good card player, and it felt like he was taking pity on me because I didn't know how to play shit. So it's like, I'll fold. You go ahead and win. You know, he'd stay until everybody folded with him, and then he would fold on me. So, and then I remember Dave being an incredibly nice person that was completely cutthroat when it came to cards. And you somehow still left thinking, well, you know, he's a nice guy.
Again, you mean bitch. Yeah, bitch. Sorry. I'm sorry. This podcast, I'm like, he's never going to listen to it because he doesn't listen to these things anyways. So.
But that's about all I remember from, other than I suck ass.
No, I believe, I mentioned that Kings and Little Ones came out because I believe Rush did it this time, but I don't know if it was in this week or the previous year or this year that Rush had done that. It's just a 5-card draw game, and kings are wild, along with the smallest card in your hand.
5 and a kind typically wins.
Yeah, at least 5 of a kind.
Straight flushes.
Yeah. I do believe that this was the beginning of the rest of my deal with the devil, because Rich ended up winning our tournament, and this was the first of what began is years for me to continually finish in the money. So, I mean, I've pretty much finished in the money just about every year from that point on. As a matter of fact, like I said, I even won 1 year. So, but Rich Steed had won this year. I don't have a whole lot more that I can think of.
One moment, please.
This would also be the first year that we did not use the old red, white, and blue bicycle chips. We had received new, well, they weren't new. They were used old casino clay chips. I remember a story that Dwin and Aaron told about going to get these chips in Vegas.
I remember Dwin being very protective of them.
Yeah.
And being mocked mercilessly. I'll splash the pot if I want to.
Kind of. Actually, yeah, but I don't think Rounders had come out at that point.
No.
But no, yeah, I remember people putting him down, and he was like, "Don't do that. These chips are rare. We can't get these chips. They don't make them anymore." But I do know there was a story behind them going to get the chips. It was Aaron and Dwin while they were in Vegas 1 year, and they decided to take a walk to go find these chips, and according to the map, it was about a block away from the hotel that they were staying at. Of course, in Vegas, a block is not necessarily a block. Plus, they had to cross over an interstate.
I didn't... Okay.
Yeah, and it was 100... It was Vegas, okay? It was 100 million degrees. And, like I said, if anybody who knows Dwin knows that the heat would not be a good thing for him to be walking in. Especially at that time.
Okay. I didn't know that story.
You never heard that story.
I just remember him being very, very protective.
And that might be why. Because he about died trying to get them. I died trying to get these chips for you guys. I could see him saying something like that.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And were you telling me about... didn't you say before we started this you had a game? Something to do with Tricky and beer.
Oh, yes. There's a drinking game that I have come up with for this. Please, if anybody comes up with any more listening to these and wants to add, you are more than welcome to do so. My first one is that anytime I mention Jerry Tricky or Rat Bitch, which you'll find out about that later, you must take a drink. This drink must be of old style. If I talk about Tricky drinking, you must take two drinks of old style. If Jerry is drunk, which you'll find out that happens a lot, you have to drink the entire can of old style. That whatever's left, or open a new one and finish that. If I try to explain a card game, you must take one shot. Your choice of drink, but one shot.
So, for those keeping track, he was explaining kings and little ones, so that's a shot.
Yes. I know there was another shot, but I can't remember what it is right now off the top of my head.
Tony Babcock.
Oh, yes. If I mention Tony Babcock in any portion of this at any time, you should have a Captain and Coke, and you need to raise your glass, and then you can take a drink. That is in honor of Tony. And in honor of my guest this week, anytime I mention RJ...
Hey, we didn't go into this one. I approved this one.
Too bad. I'm not saying that you have to do this, or... It's not when he talks. If I mention RJ, if you want to do it when he talks, that's completely up to you. I'm not responsible for you becoming alcohol poison, okay? But you must take a drink. Of course, it's not going to happen because you're going to be doing it with a girly drink, which means that you have to drink Bacardi Ram. Yeah, Appletinis, Bacardi Raz, Bacardi Silver, whatever kind of little girly drink you want to drink. Fruity drink is good.
If you're making an Appletini, you can't skimp on the teeny.
Whatever.
Just saying.
Anyways, that is about all I have. Did I talk about Daisy Dukes?
I believe the first 18 minutes of our podcast was Daisy Dukes, or references therein.
Okay. Oh, I just want to make sure, because if I don't talk about Daisy Dukes, somebody's going to kick my ass.
So, I don't know, because I had started years 1 through 5, was there ever porn? Because year 6 didn't have porn.
We didn't have porn year 6?
I don't remember ever seeing it at the house. I remember it very vividly at the...
Yeah, we don't want to talk about that one right now. Right. But that's the next year.
At the we'll discuss Shangri-La, that. But I don't remember it ever being at the house.
Yes.
In the year I was there.
I would bet that it has played because I'm sure at some point somebody put in Butt Woman and Wonder Wench just to tick off Boo, just so somebody could hear quack, 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 quack. Just to do it. Just because we know it irritates Boo to no end. So I'm pretty sure that we did. Of course, as you will see when I post the picture of the group picture each year when I post the podcast, you will notice that every guy in this picture is smiling. The reason for this, oh, by the way, this was Tony's last year. I'll get back to that in a minute. This is Tony's last year of being in Woodhull because he's getting married. And as we talked, his bachelor party and going to the strip club. He was also cleaning up the house, which also is a kind of an interesting point on the fact that Cliffy broke the bathtub. So, Heather and Cliffy's wife, Kendra, were coming down to help him clean up the house so that he could get out. As we are taking this group picture, you will notice that if you look at the picture, everybody in this picture is smiling. The reason for everybody smiling in this picture is that Heather had arrived, and as they were taking the picture, she flashed everybody. Her breasts. So that's why everybody was smiling in that particular...
As opposed to her chin.
Yeah, flashing her chin, yeah. So, okay, with that, we're about to close up this podcast for this week. I'm probably going to try to hit another one real quick here because we're running behind. Not RJ's fault.
Not my fault.
Not completely RJ's fault. The world our symposium this year will be in the Shangri-La of Alpha. Once again, the 21st through the 25th, as usual. And thank you again to Farm Boy, if you listen to this, for securing that place for us. With that, I believe I just leave us with the motto. If you're a man,
you'll understand.
Alrighty. Good night, everybody.
Well, thank you for having me.